This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. It's Race Again. It's the final Friday of the month already. Sheila Singham from Human Equation is here. Of course, this is our Tools for Transformation series. So we're going to talk about managing people and how the role of managing people in an organization can be a tough one, as there are so many personalities and egos to handle, in addition to keeping everyone aligned with the company's vision, values and policies. So today, we've got Sheila Singham with the guests, Beth Diner Samuel, Director of Operations at Bonsi Jaden, and they're going to share on how NLP tools are crucial for the human resource management practitioners. So good to see you again, Sheila. So what makes you say that, you know, NLP tools are crucial for HR practitioners?
See, the thing is, NLP tools give you the ability to understand what is going on inside of people and to be able to address the issues, you know, that are affecting them or affecting their performance, and to be able to unleash the potential to better performance. Now, Frida, the whole word human resource management itself is what we call in NLP a nominalization.
It's very cold.
It's cold. Yeah. It's like a frozen word. It makes you very dissociated. First of all, human resource. Why don't we call them people? Mm. Right? Or employee. Managing employees, keeping them happy. Keeping
leading
them
people.
Leading people, coaching people, bringing out the best in people. When you nominalize a word like this, it becomes very frozen, and you know, you kind of take away the responsibility of the doing, the process of engaging people and managing people. You kind of take away that responsibility and make it sort of very vague.
And you actually make HR feel very distant.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, HR, check with HR.
Yeah. That's right. And in many organizations, when I go and I talk to people, employees who come for my training programs about human resource management, they say that's a bit of an oxymoron, you know what I mean? And I feel very sad to hear that, because the whole purpose of this department is to really make sure that employees are experiencing emotional wellness at the end of the day. But because of the denominalization, because you put it into that category of being so very formal, what happens is it just, you begin to see the focus is just on policy, whether policies are adhered to. You use words like KPIs, you know, to determine employee performance, and then the measurement is just the performance.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, performance depends on doing stuff, doing the things that need to be done to ensure the performance. And that, again, depends on the state people are in. If I am unhappy, right, with the environment, I'm unhappy with people in the organization, I'm working in a cold, sterile environment, how do I then, how am I going to be emotionally really
connected.
Well connected,
yeah.
you know, with my job, with my work, right?
Psychologically, you would actually be distant, and I mean, I've been through this, right? Mm-hmm. And you work your bare minimum, you know, and say, okay, I met the objectives, but I'm not fully engaged.
No. I'm not. Right. I'm not passionate. I'm not engaged. I. There's no one there really to care about me. Now, Frida, we spend sort of half or 8 hours at home sleeping and eating. We come home from work at about, most of us about 7, and then we're out at 7 in the morning, so 12 hours at home maybe. And the rest of the time is traveling to work, and we're at work. We spend so much of time making our homes conducive.
Mm.
It's a place where we can go and chill out and be really, really comfortable, our sanctuary.
Mm.
What about the workplace? Why is that not also a place that's where comfort is of the essence, where people's needs, people's desires, people's values, what people want is being considered, as opposed to just looking at payrolls and salaries?
Oh, what the MD say, because I cannot think.
Correct.
Right? So whatever the MD say is the rule, right? But there is, and I suppose human resources or people management, they should be that gap to, you know, to meet what
the bridge.
What, the bridge, right?
Yeah.
You know, and not even further distance it.
No.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Some examples of how NLP tools can help in the HR role.
Okay. For one thing, basic NLP tools like building rapport skills and sensory acuity, which is the ability to notice people's physiology and
the mood.
Yeah, the mood, you know, to sense those things. That is so essential in an office. Because, you know, very often you have like a team leaving the company en masse like that. And then people say, what happened? But they all seem so happy, but they were okay, what? You know, but you didn't look at the subtle signals of what was happening there, right? So that's one thing. And then, of course, the ability to look at people's in negative emotions, the limiting beliefs, and to be able to coach them out of those is also so crucial. Right. If I'm coming into a position and you want to promote me, I've been there for years, and suddenly you want to promote me somewhere else to head a new department, lead a new team, I might be scared. I might have the belief that I'm not qualified. So, you know, as a practitioner of human HR practitioner, imagine if you had the tools to sit there, guy, and in, say, half an hour, be able to clear that, be able to reassure him, give him a picture of where the future lies for him in his career, not just in the company, you know, to be like a mentor and coach. How powerful would it be for the development of that person to help unleash his potential? Okay. Another thing is state management. I said earlier that to be able to perform and produce results, people need to be doing all the things that they need to do to get those results. But if you are not in a productive state, you are in a lethargic state, unmotivated state, you're sad and something going on inside, and you that definitely that's going to impact everything that we do, Frida, is driven by the state that we're in, dependent on the state we're in. So imagine, and a lot of people say, oh, I woke up on the wrong side of bed and, you know, I'm just not in the mood to work today. You actually have no option. Imagine if like 1 month you come to work and you're not in the mood to work, then how? Yeah. You know? So is there a way to get a person into a productive, empowered state? Yes. NLP gives you those tools to be able to do that.
Right.
Okay, so they give you the tools to coach people out of unproductive situations. So usually what happens in a company when someone's underperforming, we just look at the behavior, we look at the performance and we label them. Do we actually go behind that and ask the person and find out what is causing that?
This behavior.
This behavior, or what is causing this behavior that is then impacting the performance or lack thereof. Right? If we took the time to sit, and then if we had the tools to be able to coach them out of that and into a productive state, into an excited, motivated state, to be able to go and do their work, you tell me, is that powerful or not?
Right. And yeah, especially I put up this meme on Facebook the other day, you know, when the scariest thing for an organization is when your most passionate people are quiet. You know, so are you aware, why is this person not performing like he used to, or how she used to, and in behaving this way now, what could be causing it, right? And that's where, I guess, the real value of how human resources can come in.
No, it's true also. Yeah. The thing is, Frida, in order to be able to engage with people this way, to have the confidence, as you know, in human resources, to get the feedback from the people about how they feel, whether they're happy with things, the practitioners themselves need to have confidence about themselves and not take feedback as something personal. Oh, why, you think HR is not doing their job, is it? As opposed to that, it's like, thank you for your feedback. We're continuously looking at how we can improve to serve your needs. The human resource management department has to be for the people. Yes, while they are executing management's vision for, you know, performance and that adherence to policies and things like that, and how you recruit people and all that, at the end of the day, as you rightly put it, they are the bridge. They are the ones that need to really be engaging the people. Now, a lot of trainings I have are spurred because teams find out after they do their employee engagement survey that employees are not happy. And they're like, but really, we didn't know. But why? Because you're totally, you know, looking at what people do and don't do. The performance measure, you're not looking at the people themselves and what's going on inside their head, inside their psyche, you know. So if you're able to examine that and do something about it and help them to get into the state where they can perform better, that actually impacts the bottom line of the organization. And as I've said a few times in previous shows, when I go to people and say NLP can help you to do that, they say, oh, really? It's all about the person, right? The individual, right? And everything starts with the individual, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
The will.
Yeah.
Right? I want to.
Yeah. If I think right, I feel right, I'm happy, I have a sense of wellness where I am, definitely I'm going to give more to my organization.
Yeah.
Creative ideas. And if the people who are there to receive all these ideas also have a sense of wellness and confidence within themselves and empowering beliefs that, you know, change comes with new ideas, and to encourage all of that, how powerful would that organization be?
So in the case of Beth, right, you decided to do the NLP course as well. Was that a personal thing or a company thing?
It was definitely a personal thing.
Okay.
I was at this point where I realized that in order to be the best version of myself at work, dealing with people, I had to do something about myself. So before I can start fixing issues around me, I need to fix myself.
Okay. All right.
That's
okay.
Pretty much how
it starts with me. Huh?
Yes.
We'll discuss a little bit more about why do you think, you know, all people in HR should acquire these skills. We'll discuss that after this. I'm here with Sheila Singham from Human Equation and Beth Dina Samuel from Bonzi Jaden. You're listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Break from midfield. BFM 89.9.
It's Race Your Game. Frida Liu here. Sheila Singham from Human Equation on the final Friday of the month in our Tools for Transformation series, talking about powerful tools for human resource management. She's joined by Beth Diana Samuel, Director of Operations at Bonzi Jaden. And, you know, and she is, of course, in the HR team in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just earlier on, Beth, you were saying that you came for this course of, on a personal level, because it's like, if I were to be of benefit to my team members, I got to work on me first.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, so having gone for the course, why do you think, you know, people managers, HR practitioners should acquire NLP and, you know, these timeline therapy skills?
Well, I think the requirements of the job is, you know, quite straightforward. You have to be tuned in. You have to be switched on all the time. You're not just talking about dealing with, you know, hiring people. It's more, it's their growth. It's, you know, like Sheila said, it's the state of mind that they're in. And that realization that how much that affects the work that we do. If people are happy, they do good work. They do good work, the clients are happy, the business is profitable. So it's really, it stems down to something very simple.
Mm.
But that realization is really what, you know, got me thinking. And got me to join the course.
Okay, so what was it at that point that you were, that you wanted to do this? It must have been something that happened or triggered you. Say, I want to look at doing something.
Yeah, I suppose it was, you know, just with the stress of the job, mm-hmm. going back home and bringing these issues back with me. I'm someone who's very tuned in all the time. I'm all or nothing. So the with my case, I was going back home with these issues, and it wasn't very healthy. And
yeah.
In 6 months in the role, I realized that I needed to, you know, do something and figure this out. I can't be, you know, constantly bringing this back home with me. I need to be able to manage my state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the realization that I was in, that this is something I need to do so that I, in return, don't get burnt out. And I realized that I need to be there for the guys in order for them to perform.
Mm.
And yeah.
Yeah. So, and your cup has to be full before you can, you know, pour
Absolutely.
Into other people's cups, right?
Yeah.
So, what has been your experience in doing a job before and after you acquired these skills? So, what's the difference? What tools have you been using with the people around you?
Okay. I think one of the tools I use on a daily basis would be reframing.
Mm.
Reframing is basically when people come in and they are in a very negative state of mind. And I want to get them to somewhere positive so they can be productive.
Because slapping is not possible.
No. Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just basically getting into a good frame of mind so they can do work.
Okay. Actually, yeah, to take the positive learning that they can from that negative situation. Very powerful.
Can you give a story of someone who came up to you?
Sure. This is actually a very common thing I think a lot of people can relate to. It's just getting really bogged down by client requests.
Mm.
So we're in advertising, so it's very common that the client sometimes gets a little bit pushy with things.
Mm.
And sometimes account managers tend to break under the pressure. They are unable to see beyond the request. So they come in and they talk to me and they pretty much ask for help, saying that I can't do this anymore. You know, it's very stressful. She's being very difficult. She's, you know, picking on me. But the issue is you're not being picked on.
Mm.
And it's my responsibility to help them see beyond. And so it's very simple reframing exercise of, you know, bringing them to a state of, you know, the client thinking that the client's picking on them to allowing them to understand that the client's not picking on you.
Yeah.
They're probably being pressured themselves at work. So, you know, they've got their own objective, business objectives, and we as the agency should be, you know, helping them out. So if you can see it from that perspective, you'd approach this very positively, wanting to help them rather than think that you're being victimized in this.
Yeah, and I can understand it's such a pressure cooker working in the advertising industry because they work long hours, sometimes they work overnight.
Yes.
And so you're tired and all this is happening. And
yes.
So sometimes you just need to, and that's how you feel. That's
absolutely.
All you can see, you know.
Absolutely.
And you just need to talk to someone and say, hey, maybe it's this. And it's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, and most of the time, it's not that this happens to the best of us. It's not that, you know, any one of us, you know, can not be able to see beyond. The truth is, it happens to, you know, managers,
all
executives,
of us,
all
yeah.
of
CEOs,
us.
Leaders,
yes.
everybody.
And sometimes you just need someone to bring you down to earth and remind you of these things. So reframing is one of the things.
I mean, there'll be days when I'm going through this and I'll give a call to Sheila, and Sheila like this, then she'll ask me some questions. Oh, okay. Sorted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, even sometimes it's called being in your shoes, you know, and then you can't see outside of your own box. So that's the process also that we call the perceptual positions.
Right.
Yank you out of your shoes into a neutral position so you can see things. So sometimes I also need that.
Yeah.
I would call a fellow trainer and I'd say, you know, this is happening. And they'll say, well, get out into third position and look at it from a different
perspective.
And
you know you can solve it, but you're just in this, you know,
spiral.
In this spiral and you just can't see it. I know I can solve it. I just need to just get someone to ask me the right questions to so reframing is one of them, right?
Yes.
What are some of the other tools you found most useful?
The other thing I use would be meta-modeling. It's a series of questions that you ask, similar to sort of reframing someone, but usually I use this is when we are unable to identify the source of the issue. So an example would be if somebody comes to me, you know, and they're pretty much at their wits end saying, I need to leave this job.
Ma.
I can't be here anymore.
Okay, this is the almost exit interview.
Yes.
Okay.
And just that, and I've been working for these guys and working with them, and I know that, you know, this is coming from somewhere deeper. I mean, sometimes people come in and you get that vibe that they're not sure.
Just a job, yeah.
Yes, or they're not sure about why they're unhappy. So it's my responsibility to help them see, sort of chunk down into what specifically is making you unhappy. And a lot of times I find that it's not what they thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something as simple as being unhappy at home or, you know, having a sick parent, having to take care of that parent and their responsibility at work because they feel like it's getting in the way of being a good daughter, a good son. So just that ability to get into what is the actual issue and address it. So if it's as simple as I leave work very late, therefore I don't see my parents and I'm very unhappy, then leave work early, you know?
Okay.
What's stopping you from doing that?
And then my manager.
And then we chunk down even more
to,
okay, what is it that's taking a chunk of your time? Okay, if it's certain tasks, how long do you spend on these tasks? Do you have to spend that much of time on these tasks? And it's very simple. And the next thing you know, we're down to the issue. And it's just constantly reminding them after that.
Yeah.
Hey, you're still at work. It's 8:00. You know, are you done? Can this be done tomorrow? Yeah, so I think that's another thing that I use.
Okay, so it's just like so many things happening. And then you just feel so clouded. And so you just sort of, getting it down, filtering.
Yeah,
filtering.
It's called chunking down to the real root cause of the problem. Because a lot of people are so overwhelmed with something, they don't really get down to the root cause. Like everything is coming to bear at the same time. So, and the beauty of this is that we're not solving the problem for you.
Yeah.
In NLP coaching, we never solve the problem for the client.
They solve it themselves.
They solve it themselves. For us, it's by that questioning tool, that getting them to step out, getting them to look at things differently, and they themselves then come out of that situation and feel better and are more empowered.
Okay, so you say it's chunking down. Mm-hmm. Is there a time where it is necessary to
chunk up?
Yeah.
Yeah, occasionally it is, and very often also it's good to chunk up because if they're down there stuck in that little situation and that's all they can see also, sometimes we will ask them, well, what's the purpose of this?
Yeah.
What is this for? What is this giving you? What's this going to give you in the ultimate?
In 1 year's time, in 5 years' time, in 10 years'
time. And then they're like, oh, okay, so I know why I'm going through this now. I have to go through this. I have to kind of like go through this, you know, pond of, you know, wade through this thing because I'm plow through because I'm learning new things. I need to be ready for a next position when it comes to me.
I find that for me, when I use this the chunking down element, it's like I want to be somewhere or doing something in 2 years' time, 5 years' time. What do I need to do now to get there? And sometimes it's the most boring, mundane thing.
Exactly.
But I need to do it. Sometimes it's why in heaven's name am I doing this? Oh, because in 5 years' time, I need to achieve this. And this is the boring stuff that I need to do now because there's a bigger picture that I'm going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Final words around NLP?
Well, you know, Beth, you want to go first?
Sure. I think NLP, just what it does for you is it gives you tools that, you know, gives you clarity. And in order for you to be in this industry and do a really good job at, you know, managing people, is you have to be clear yourself, and you're not only dealing with business objectives, it's also with people. Yeah. So it's as simple as being clear about what you need to get done and how you need to get there. So that's what it does for you.
Well, human resource management, oh, how I hate that term. But okay, managing people is about understanding yourself first, being able to clear out all your stuff and be fully confident in who you are, and being able to have that sensitivity to look at other people and know what they want, what drives them, what's their purpose, what their desires, what motivates them, so that then you can use all the tools in your arsenal, so to say, speak, to actually help motivate them to get to a better place in terms of performance. Yeah. When people perform better, the company profits. Ultimately, I mean, there's no two ways about it. Yeah. So I do believe that in order to have those tools to actually go down and help people at a very personal internal level, these are the tools that we give our people in our NLP programs.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Sheila Singham from Human Equation. She'll be here the final Friday of next month. And Beth Dinah Samuel from Bonzi Jaden, thanks for sharing your experience with us too. You've been listening to Racy Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This year, I will chew 117 number 2 pencils.
I will doodle 9 Staples notebooks to death.
When it comes to school supplies, it's guaranteed your kids will go through a lot.
I'll make a whole lot of paper airplanes.
I will lose my backpack.
That's why you get guaranteed savings for back to school at Staples.
I'll give away my last pen to Nathan in math class.
Get guaranteed savings at Staples, and right now, one subject notebooks for just a penny with a $5 purchase. Staples, that was easy. Valid on select SKUs while supplies last. Limit 6, ends 8/25/12.